Larry Helm, as of 9 weeks ago, is the executive chair and chief executive officer for Texas Capital Bankshares, and that follows the termination of that $5.5 billion merger with Independent Bank. Mr. Helm joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be on the line with you, Dave.
So you got 30 years in commercial banking and 15 years sitting on the other side of the table, a lot of it in the oil and gas industry. So oil and gas industry or banking? Frying pan or fire? Which is which?
You know, they're two great industries, David, and I've enjoyed my time in both, sitting on either side of the table. It's, I think I learned a lot from both sides. And kind of put me in a position to be able to take over the reins here for some period of time and be able to understand what our clients need and also how our employees are reacting to all of this. So it's kind of exciting. I don't know whether it's frying pan or fire, but either one actually has been pretty good so far in the first 8, 9 weeks.
Well, so the doctor is in, and if you're going to bring the doctor in to fix things, then it needs to be somebody who knows both sides of the table, I guess, and also somebody who knows the oil and gas industry, because part of the problems for the banking industry in general, and I guess Texas Capital, are some loans to the oil and gas industry. That's a situation that doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon, does it?
So, you know, on the oil and gas side, I've been through, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen of these cycles in my 45 years in the business, again, on both sides of the table. And clearly it's a volatile business, and it's a cyclical business and obviously depends on the price of oil and gas. And so we'll get through this, but this one's different, clearly, in my mind, given the COVID-19 shutdown also added something that we haven't really had in the past quite so much. But look, here's what we did. We took some major steps in the first couple of quarters to resolve kind of a handful of large problem loans, some in energy, some in leverage lending. And then we built reserves to make sure that we can get through the cycle. So we've reduced our exposure to energy. We've reduced our exposure to leverage lending over the last 18 months or so because of what I just said and, right, and the difficulties in that business. But now we feel good. We feel good that we're well provisioned for the future. And I think we understand, I understand at least each of our energy loans. I've been through them with our people, and look, it's a tough business, but we've been at it a long time, and I think we'll restore it to where it needs to be.
Of course, the other challenge is you're coming in at a time we've got interest rates the lowest any of us have ever seen. I guess the lowest we've ever seen in history. It seemed like it would be tough to make a decent margin on a loan when interest rates are this low.
Well, clearly, net interest margins have been under pressure for quite some time for all banks, not just for us. So we continue to look for ways to reduce our costs and find more revenues to go against those costs. But one of the things I'd like to mention is we have this just outstanding, best-in-class mortgage finance group. And so when we get through times like this where maybe the middle market and corporate and real estate and home builder finance maybe are under a little bit of pressure, the mortgage business is strong. And the way we do it is low risk. And in fact, our folks had a record quarter this quarter and starting off in the third quarter really strong too. And so It sort of blunts a bit of that margin with more volume, and it's low risk volume, and so provides good revenues for us. In fact, this quarter, David, we had a record pre-provision net revenue number, which I think is just phenomenal given what we've been going through as an industry.
You know, I guess if you have to go through something like this, doing it in Texas right now has got to be the best place in the lower 48 to be. we continue to expand. It looks like we're continuing to see in migration, and by golly, all the cranes are still active out there.
It's just amazing to me the vibrancy and the resiliency of the Texas market, and particularly the North Texas market. But I told our employees the other day after the earnings call, I had about 1,500 of them on the line, and I just said, look, I, almost the same thing you said. If I've got to go through this, I'd rather be in Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, and Fort Worth, and also be in these specialty businesses that are just driving the boat right now. I'd still rather be in Texas than anywhere going forward, and especially in light of what we're seeing now.
So do you like your position then? Those cities, you know, seem to be, you know, growth areas. Are you positioned properly in each of those? Are there any, you know, any facilities you're going to close down or expand?
So, David, we're not in facilities so much. We're fairly branch light, as you probably noticed.
Right.
But our investments are in people, and so we continue to recruit top bankers around those markets, particularly, and in fact, have plans in place to hire top revenue producers who have been in the market for a long time with other institutions. They tell us that they like our franchise. They like what we're trying to do and providing a differentiated experience with our clients. And so we continue to hire top talent in those markets. Absolutely, we need to invest in those.
You know, and it seems like one of the outgrowths of this pandemic is going to be business sort of driving your way. And you're branch light. And the necessity for branches, other than, I guess, for marketing, seems to be evaporating. More and more people are being driven to online banking.
Well, that's clearly the case. I've really been proud of our folks for how they pivoted from a face-to-face encounter with our clients to everything online and digital. And it's just amazing to me that you could take 1,500 employees and within a space of, I don't know, a week or two, have them up and running, wire transfers, all those systems. Our business continuity people have just done a wonderful job. And our clients have also adapted to it as well. Now, you know, we didn't have a lot of branches for them to go to begin with. And so they were kind of used to it. And but you're right. Clearly, the evidence would show that the ability of continued growth in branches per se is continuing to decline. And I think rightfully so. Yeah. We still need them, but I don't think as many as we have today.
One last thing. It looks like there's another round of stimulus programs that will be coming out. And in fact, there's still money that hasn't been spent. Can banks make any money handling these, you know, these SBA loans and other programs? Is there a margin in that for you?
So, look, the payroll protection program, our folks rallied. I think we served like 1,700 clients and about $700-800 million of loans outstanding. It was quite an ordeal, frankly, to get through it. And as quickly as we did, we had people up here 24/7 volunteering, even though it wasn't their area. And so, look, we met our clients' needs, and I think it was critical for a lot of our clients to have that money. Will we make a lot of money on it? Not directly. But we're serving our clients, and that's what we're all about, is trying to make sure that we deliver them what they need. Now, Main Street Lending Program's starting up right now. We are a registered lender for clients only at the moment. And we'll see how that goes. But, you know, those are just regular loans. They don't get forgiven or anything like the PPP. So sometimes I wonder, well, why wouldn't you just do it directly? Do you really need the Fed program to do that? But we're supportive of it, and we're a part of it, and we will do what we need to do.
Signs of liquidity. I guess that helps the marketplace somewhat. Well, look, you got a warm reception. I think you had a record number of people on the conference call last week with your first earnings report. So you're off to a good start. We wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
appreciate
a lot. Thanks a lot for the time. Larry Helm, the new CEO of Texas Capital Bank. For more of our conversation with Mr. Helm, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.